Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Two announcements before we begin. You will notice on the source sheet that you have, it says Le'ilui Nishmat Avraham Abba Ben Yosef Silver. Zichrono Levracha. Chof Hei Tishrei, a few days ago, was the yahrzeit of Avram Silver, and the name of this school, if you ever look up on the side of the building here, you'll see a big sign that says it's the Avram Silver Jerusalem College for Adults. And it was Nifter, it's more than 10 years ago, it's 11 years ago. He was a young man, 42 years old, and he was of great help to me. It was he and his wife who dedicated my shul in Har Nof in memory of his father, Rabbi Yossel Silver, and that's why it's called Kehilat Zichron Yosef. And his almana endowed the adult education program, all the programs here at the Israel Center, and therefore it's called the Avram Silver College. And this is the annual shiur. Usually it's the first shiur of the year, is the annual shiur in memory of Avram Silva at the time of the yahrzeit. Second, our good long-time friend Elaine Pomerantz has asked me to do a thing for her annual event. She's sitting over there. This is the 7th annual event to benefit Neve Avron Child Development Treatment Center. A fun quiz with Rose Meyer, aided by Queenie Parnas. Where is she? Queenie Parnas. She's not here today? She must be preparing for the fun quiz. And Lionel Solomon, Monday evening, Yom Beit Or Levov Mar Cheshvan. That's this coming Monday night. Tonight is going to be Rosh Chodesh already. There are 2 days Rosh Chodesh, Wednesday and Thursday. Doors open at 7 p.m. at Ol Nechama, Rehov Chopin 3, mini auction, work of renowned artist Baruch Nachshon, raffle, drawing, all sorts of things. Please see Elaine, and she'll, for information, Elaine Pomerantz, that's what it says right here down at the bottom. Certainly a worthwhile cause. Huh? Today's of Shimon Atzadik's yard site. Yes, I heard something like that on the radio. All right. And listen, wait, we're coming to Rochel Imenu's yard site. Yud Alef Cheshvan, that's big stuff in this country. If we're making already announcements of that sort, we should be mispowered for Shlema, for Mordechai Tzemach, Ben Mazal Tov, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, was gravely ill. One of our giants, and we should pray for a foolish name of him. We're losing people left and right. Anyway, Parashat Noach. I think it's 20 years now, 25 years, maybe 30 years, 40 years. Every time I come to Parashat Noach, every time, without fail, you come to Parashat Noach, and you want to paint a picture, a portrait of Noach. A portrait of Noach is we'll see why there are reasons that it's difficult to paint a portrait of him. There are people, as we will see, Rashi says, Yesh Meir Abotenu, there are those amongst our rabbis who consider him as praiseworthy, and there are those who deprecate Noach. Noach is forever in that eternal balance. Like, there's something missing. And then, of course, we will see he is compared to Avraham Avinu, and in being compared to Avraham Avinu, he is found wanting. Rashi is going to say that Avraham Avinu was able to walk before God on his own, but Noach needed somebody to assist him. And then, of course, one of the things we will deal with is that Avraham Avinu prayed for the people of Sodom. We don't hear a word out of Noach. That's going to be a very essential point over here. And I remember, and I have charot already, I regret that shir where I sort of got on the anti-Noach bandwagon, and I found yet another chait of Noach. Huh? I gave a shir what?
On all the good points.
Well, this shir will end up, I'm going to elaborate on some good points that I've said in the past and other new ones. But at that shir, remember that shir, I came down very hard on Noach because Noach is silent. You don't hear Noach. Do you know what the first words you hear out of Noach's mouth? The first words that are uttered by Noach are, Arur Kenan, let Kenan be cursed. Eved Avadim Yiyeh Le'echov, he shall be a slave to his brothers. And Baruch Elokei Shem, blessed is the God of Shem. Now, this takes place after the after the flood is over, and he comes out of the he comes out of the ark, and he plants a vineyard, and he makes grapes, and he makes wine, and from the wine he drinks the wine, and he gets drunk, and he's naked and uncovered in his tent, and Chum does not act properly toward his father, but Shem and Yefet also do act well. Yes?
Why didn't Shem say something? Shem, he should have said something.
But, let's leave all questions to the end. First, you'll have to see what I have up my sleeve. And then, if there are questions left, two possibilities exist. One possibility is that if I've finished saying what I have to say, you won't have any questions. The other possibility is you will have forgotten the question. But whichever one. Noah doesn't say a word. God tells him, I'm going to destroy the whole world. Noah is silent. I'm going to bring a flood that will erase everything from the face of this earth. Noah is silent. Where do we hit? Gemaud, God in Himmel, what? What are you doing? What are you doing? You're going to destroy all these human beings. Let's do something. Let's stop some yeshivas. Let's do something. Not a word out of him. Not a word. Whole parsha. And the first time he does open up his mouth, so the first words that come out of his mouth are, cursed is Canaan. He shall be a slave to his brothers. At least if the first words would have been, blessed is Shem. Blessed is Shem. No. So I remember I got very upset with Noach that year. And I couldn't. How? Not a word. And the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, Arur Kenan. Cursed is Kenan. But I say, I think I'm doing tshuva. I'm doing tshuva on that. I don't think it's right that we should throw all sorts of things upon Noach, when in the final analysis, remember, he was chosen by God to survive. He was also chosen by God to be the one who's going to rebuild the world. That means Noach was okay. More than that, even when the attempts are made to compare or contrast him with Avraham Avinu, you know, we don't compare and contrast just anybody in the street with Avraham Avinu. In other words, we're talking about somebody who is there. He's in the league of Avraham Avinu. But he's just, well, there's something Avraham has over him. And by the way, what Avraham had over Noach, Avraham had over all of mankind since the beginning of time until today. Avraham Avinu, as the Rambam describes him, was the great genius who was able, after many, many decades of profound thought, a tortured soul who finally discovers that there is a Rebbeinu Shem. That was a great discovery. That was a great discovery. I've often quoted Paul Johnson, his History of the Jews, who says, he doesn't know what would have happened with this world if Abraham would not have come out of Ur of the Chaldees and shared his great discovery with the rest of the world. Would we or would we not have arrived at a conclusion that there is a God, there's a Borei Olam, there's a creator who's omnipotent, omniscient? So if Noah doesn't add up to Avraham Avinu, but he's just a little bit lower than Avraham Avinu, that's big. That's very big. You can't get much bigger. So let's see. We're going to find what I believe is Noah's great strength, and we will elaborate on it quite a bit more than we've done in previous years. But first, let's begin. Eilu told us Noah. Noach ish tzadik. Tomim hayobedorotav. These are the offspring of Noach. Noach was a righteous man. Tomim hayobedorotav. Noach, he was a perfect one in his generations. Et helokim et haleich Noach. Noach walked with God. That's quite an introduction. That's quite an introduction to Noach. Torah is telling us who he was. Torah is telling us what. By the way, we may have forgotten that the pasuk before this, which was the last pasuk in Parshat Bereshit, says, "V'Noach motzo chein be'enei Hashem." Noach found favor, grace in the eyes of God. To have find favor, that's beautiful. And by the way, we also have to remember that when the Torah lists the 10 generations from Adam till Noach, Adam, Sheis, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Yored. No, I don't want to show. I don't want to show, you know, be a show off because I'm going to get stuck by the next one or the one after that. So the text is the same until we come to Lenach, number 10. Metushelach had a son, Lemach, and then it says Lemach lived so many years, and he gave birth to a son. And here it says, Vayikron, he called his name Noach, and he said, Ze yinachameinu mimase yodeinu. This one is going to make things easier for us. We were not told about any of the other of the generations from Adam to Noach, what their name was, and that they were called by that name, and the reason for it. There's something unusual and exceptional about Noach from the moment of his birth on. And here we are told that Noach is ish tzadik, tamim ayobidorotam. Rashi says, El Togas Noach, number two. We're going to go through these three Rashis, because there's a very delicate balance that Rashi strikes in these three statements. El Togas Noach, Noach ish tzadik. Hoel v'hiskiro, since the Torah mentioned him, and other. What's bothering Rashi is when you say, Eilat told us Noach, these are the generations, the offspring of Noach. What we should have said immediately is the next pasuk. The second pasuk is that he gave birth to Shem, Ham, and Yafes. In other words, the Torah should have said, Eilat told us Noach, these are the generations of Noach. He gave birth to Shem, Ham, and Yafes. But there's an interruption. There's an interruption. And what is the interruption? To tell us who he was. So Rashi says, Ho, il v'hiskiro, because he mentioned him, Sipe b'shrocho, we are told his praise, Shinemaz, it says, Zeche tzadik l'vrocho, the mention of a righteous person is for a blessing. So therefore, the moment Torah mentions the name Noach, the Torah has to say, Ish tzadik, a righteous man. Stavaracha, another version, L'lamedcha, to teach you that the real offspring of a tzaddik are his good deeds. There are two things that were the offspring of the tzaddik. Ela told us Noach. Noach had children and he had good deeds. And the good deeds, L'lamedcha, to teach you, She'ikah told us, saying the main offspring shel tzaddikim are ma'asim tovim, are their good deeds. Their good deeds are also that which they have given birth to. Second Rashi. This is where all the debate begins. Eilat told us, Noach is tzaddik, tamim haya. Why couldn't it have just stopped right there? These are the offspring of Noach. Noach is tzaddik, he was a righteous man, he was perfect. This word bidorotav in his generations seems to indicate, well, what does it indicate? Does it mean that in his generation he was a great tzaddik? Go put him in a different generation. No. There are many Noachs floating around. Or does it mean in his generation, a generation of such moral depravity and decay, a world falling into the oblivion of sin? And there's a shining beacon called Noach. Why would Noach have lived in a generation of pious, great people? What heights he would have risen to. This is, now Rashi, sometimes Rashi says things that are so subtle, and you have to be able to get to what Rashi is talking about. And over here, his subtlety comes to the fore. Rashi is based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is on Achloket, Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, Bidorotav, in his generations, he Dodesh Lignai, he learns that this is a deprecating statement about Noah. In his generation, alright, in a generation of such evil, so you know, he was also a tzaddik. And Resh Lakish says, oh no. Resh Lakish says, Bidorotav, in his generation, in a generation, but that's what he was a tzaddik. Can you imagine? We can't even imagine what he would be in a different generation. So Rashi has done a number of things with that Gemara. In the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which opinion is mentioned first? The opinion that deprecates Noah, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. The second opinion, the one that praises him and says, in his generation, in that terrible generation, he was a tzaddik. Wow, what he would have been in other generations. That's the second opinion of the Gemara. That's Resh Lakish. Rashi reverses the order. Is that a subtle way of Rashi telling us that he seems to be inclined to the opinion that we have to see Noach as a giant? And then there's another fascinating thing. I'll read the Rashi now, and let's notice it. V'torotav, in his generations, yesh meravotenu, there are those among our rabbis, dorshimoto l'shevach, who expound this word as praise, in praise of Noach as follows. Kolshkein, in his generation, he was a tzaddik. Kolshkein, ilu hoya b'dor tzaddikim, even all the more so, if he had been in a generation of righteous people, hoya tzaddik yoteh, he would have been even more righteous. Alright, as we said, that's the second opinion in the Gemara. Rashi has made it the first opinion. Now, Rashi begins the next one. And here already the Jews have said, V'yesh darshim ato, and there are those who expound it, lignai, as a deprecation. And they note the fact that when Rashi quoted the first opinion, he said, yesh meir rabotenu. There are those amongst our rabbis who read this as a praise. Now, to keep the Rashi balanced, he should have said, when he quotes the second opinion, V'yesh meir rabotenu, and there are those of our rabbis who deprecate now. Rashi leaves out the rabotenu. A subtle way of telling us that he is inclined to the first opinion, the one that he has made the first. And of course, listen, it's simple. If we can judge him kindly, why judge him unkindly? Obviously, the only reason why one would judge him unkindly is because the fact is, it says Bidorotav in his generation. That seems to be a limiting in his generation. That's what it seems. By the way, later on, when Hashem speaks to him and he tells him to go into the ark, Otcha ra'iti, you I saw lefonai tzadik bador hazeh. You I saw as a righteous one in this generation. I don't know why they don't bring that pasuk. That pasuk seems to be even, possibly even more, not in Noah's favor. God says, you I've seen as a tzaddik in this generation. Even that can be read, can be read both ways. No, I'm not going to. Today is be nice to Noah day. Today is Noah. I'm all in favor of Noah. So Rashi says, Ilu the Fidoro, he was a tzaddik. Ilu hoya v'doro shel Avram, lo yanechsha l'klum, would he have been in the generation of Avram, he would not have been considered anything of significance. I find that, here I also have difficulty with that. What do you think the world in the generation of Avram was? A generation of Eskrisa Tzadikim in the generation of Avram. All that it means is that, you know, in comparison to Avram, in comparison to Avram, that it's a harsh term. Lo yanechshav l'klum, he wouldn't have been counted for anything. Next Rashi, number 4. Et olekim et halech Noach. Noach walked with God. Up Avram hu omer. By Avram it says, God tells him, Hitalech lefanai, walk before me. Noach hayotzorich sa'ad letomcho. Noach needed support to bear him up. Aval Avram hayam itchazek, but Avram would strengthen himself. Umahaleh bitzitko me'elov, and walk in his righteousness on his own. There was a strength in Avram that Noach didn't have. And I don't believe that Rashi means this in any way to denigrate Noach. As I said earlier, to say about somebody, I would love somebody to say about me that, you know, wasn't Avram. That's pretty good, you know. That's pretty good. He wasn't Avram. He wasn't Avram. Nobody was Avram. I said nobody was Avram. If you take a look at these three Rashis, the first Rashi is all in favor of Noach. The first Rashi says, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. The first Rashi tells us that the main offspring of the righteous are their good deeds. The last Rashi, third Rashi, is the one that could be in some way interpreted as deprecating Noach, that he was not Avram. And which Rashi comes in the middle? The Rashi that comes in the middle is the two opinions. The first opinion of Rashi, that we should look at him in praise, which follows so smoothly from the very first Rashi. And the second opinion leads into the third Rashi. Ilu hoya, would he have been bedoru shel Avram, lawyer, in that shablaklum. And why would he not have been considered anything? So the third Rashi tells us, because listen, there was a strength that Avram had that Noach just didn't have. So I would say that Rashi has maintained a balance over here between the two opinions, except for the fact that he mentions the opinion of praise first, and that with regard to the first opinion, he says, Yesh me rabotenu, our rabbis. And when he says the second opinion, he simply says, the yesh, and there are those who look at Noach in a bit of a negative way. Now we're going to take a look at Noach. Number 5. God tells him to build the ark. Vayas Noach kechol asher tzivo Hashem. Noach did everything that God commanded him. By the way, this pasuk, in one form or another, appears another once or twice, and Rashi always points out that the first time it appears, it's after God told him to build the teva, Vayas Noach. Noach did what he was commanded. He is very obedient. I think this is extremely important. We have to lay the groundwork over here for what we're going to say. Noach is obedient. God tells him to make an ark. Vayas Noach, he did everything that God commanded him. God tells him to go into the ark. Vayas Noach, kechol asher tzivo Hashem. Noah did all that God commanded him. Vayas Noach, Rashi, another three Rashis. Vayas Noach zed biatol ateva. He came into the ark. God told him to go. God told him build, build. God tells him, go into the ark. Go into the ark. Okay. Very obedient Noach. Now the pasuk goes on to say, "V'Noach ben Sheish Me'ochoni was 600 years old. V'Hamabul and the flood Hayomayim al Oretz, water on the face of this earth. V'Yavo Noach uvanav v'Ishto uneshebanav ito el Ateva mipnei Me'Hamabul." Very important pasuk. And Noach came with his sons and his wife and the wives of his sons with him into the ark. If you notice very clearly, there is a separation between male and female. The pasuk is very careful to say, Noach came with his sons, and his wife came with the daughters-in-law, the wives of his sons. Incidentally, that's exactly what he was commanded to do, and we'll see the command in number 9. Or you know what? Let's go to number 9 right now. Vakimoti et viti itach. I will establish, this is, he's telling him, build the teva, go into the teva. Vakimoti et viti itach. I will establish my covenant with you. Uvatal ateva, and you should come to the ark. Ata, uvanecha, you and your sons. Ve'ishtecha, your wife, and your daughters-in-law, itach. This is where he was commanded. If this passage really should be on this source sheet, before number 9 should be before number 5. Don't get confused. Here he's commanded. Rashi says, number 10, Ata uvanecha v'yishtecha, you, your sons, and your wife, ha'anoshim levad v'ha'anoshim levad, the men separately and the women separately. Mikan, from here we learn, shenesru b'tashmish hamita, that they were forbidden to have marital relations in the teva. Now go back to number 5. When Noah comes into the teva, he follows God's instructions precisely. Noah and his sons, his wife, and the daughters-in-law. Now Rashi number 7, Noah Ubonov, what the Torah is now telling us, exactly as he was commanded, they prepared to enter the teva, Noah and his sons, and his wife, and the daughters-in-law. Ha'anoshim levad, v'anoshim levad. It will be important. You will see how important this is. Men separately, women separately, because they were forbidden to have relations. And here Rashi says, why were they forbidden to have relations? Mipnei sheha'olam shorui b'tzar, for the world was in a state of distress. Now, of course, you know, we can start asking all sorts of questions. Why didn't Rashi say it in the other Rashi where it says men separately, women separately? Rashi waits for the, this is the second Rashi. Maybe Rashi waits for the second because this is when it's in fact happening. And they're going in separately. Mipnei Mehamabul, the end of the pasuk is that they went in, Noach and his sons, his wife and his daughter-in-laws, from because of the waters of the flood. Rashi. Af Noach miktane amonahoya. Noach too was one of those with little faith. Mamin ve'eno mamin shi'avah mabul. He believed yet did not believe fully that the flood would come. Ve'lo nichnas la'teva ad she'dechakuhu amayim. He didn't go into the ark until the waters compelled him. Right? Does that seem like some kind of a negative swipe at Noach?
No.
Negative swipe at Noach. No, that was a rhetorical question. If I'd open up that question to this whole place, we'd never get out of here. Alright. One can read this Rashi in a completely different way. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, great Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, does read it in a different way, and I have a number of my own thoughts on this Rashi. First of all, he says that he was Miktane Amona, of little faith, little faith. Mamin ve'eno mamin shiavona abel. He believed and he didn't believe fully that the flood was going to come. And he only went into the water until the waters compelled him to go. Miknei meham abel, he goes in. Let me read it slightly differently, or at least explain it differently. Number one, Noah is not going to go into the ark until the water has come to his neck. You know why he's not going to go? Rebbeinu Shlom, God in Himmel, I don't believe you're going to destroy your world. You're going to take our whole world, men, women, children, cattle, sheep. You destroy it all. You created it. You made it. Is there something wrong with having doubts about whether God is going to destroy His world? What got into you? Think about it again. No, he doesn't believe that the world is going to be destroyed. And you know what else he may be doing? And this becomes important for me. What Noach is demonstrating over here is, you told me to go into the ark. I tell you, Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm not going into that ark until I'm left with absolutely no choice. I'm defying you. You told me to go, I'm not going. You have to push me into the ark. Is it possible that Noach, by standing outside of the ark as the waters begin to rise, is defying the Rabbeinu Shalom? Is he saying, no, you can't do it? And you know what? If you want to take the rest of the world, I don't want to live in that kind of world after it's all over. I don't want to live in a world that's going to be a graveyard for millions of people. I don't want to be there. Take me now. This is not a... Am I letting my imagination run away with me? Or is it possible that the kind of things that Avram did verbally, Noach does without saying a word? Yes, Avram Avinu stands up before God and he pleads on behalf of Sodom. Incidentally, you know, most people forget, he failed. He didn't succeed in saving Sodom. He couldn't find a minion in Sodom. There wasn't a minion. By the way, there are those who say that Noah didn't pray because he knew there was no minion in the world. There was him and his wife and his sons and his daughters-in-law. That was it. Doesn't add up to 10. So he doesn't pray. There is no minion. The only thing that Noah can do is, in a sense, saying, Rabbeinu Shalom, over my dead body. I don't want to go in. I don't want to go in. Later on, there's a passage that says, Vayizgor Hashem Bado, God closed the door of the ark after him. Most to make sure you're in. What I see in this Rashi is the beginning of what I believe is the great trait of Noah. Not everybody has to express himself verbally. Not everybody has to be able to open up a mouth and speak to God, before God. Moshe Rabbeinu was great. He was the greatest. Lama Hashem Yechra Abcha B'Yamecho, after the sin of the golden calf, God, what are you getting upset about? Remember the covenant that you made with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And what do you want? You want the Mitzrayim to say, take a look at what happened to those slaves that God took out of Egypt. They're all dead in the desert. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu know how to speak on behalf of his people? Noach is silent Noach. But there's power and there's great strength in Noach's silence. Noach knows how to send very strong messages to the Rebbeinu Shalom without opening his mouth. It comes to the fore in most probably Noah's greatest act on behalf of the world. Turnover. You want to have an easy way to remember this year? This morning before I ran them over at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I always leave it till the last minute, because you know who knows what else is going to get into my head. You know, I have to leave for... You've seen the signs in the street? Which signs am I talking about?
Voting.
Yes, we're voting. They're up in a week and a half, 2 weeks. We're voting for a mayor of this city. Parrish is already mayor. Mayor Parrish. Okay? That wasn't an endorsement, but I can't endorse anybody else. Gaidamek. Is that the way they pronounce his name? Arkady Gaidamek? So, I didn't write it correctly. I think it says, Einomidaber. He doesn't speak, but he does. Do you know what Noach is? Einomidaber. He doesn't speak. Ve'eino oseh. He doesn't do. God wants him to go into the teva? No. You're going to have to push me into the teva. And now I'm going to show you the brilliance of Noach. Noach's brilliance is, doesn't speak, he doesn't have to speak, but he doesn't do God's bidding. The same Noach that we pointed out, Rashi has said, he's so obedient, the Rebbeinu says, do, vayas Noach. The Rebbeinu again says, do, vayas Noach. And he did. On this page, 24 psukim. It's awesome. I'm going to describe these 24 psukim. Let's go. We're going on an awesome journey. Vayedaber Elohim el Noach lemor. By the way, do you know how obedient he is? You'll see how obedient he is. He knows already that the marble is over. He knows that the earth has dried. He sent the raven, and then the raven is gone, nevermore, and then he sends the dove. He knows. You know what? He does not go out of the ark. What are you waiting there for? God sent me in. He's obedient. He's going to wait for instructions. He will not set foot until he is told to leave. Now, another. What kind of a pasuk is this? Is this a blessing from God? Is this a request of God? What word would you use to describe this pasuk? You know what this pasuk is? A mitzvah. What pasuk is repeated more than any other in all of Torah? Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. All right? Obviously, Noach is not on the madrega of Moshe, so it doesn't say Hashem, it says Elohim. Lemor means this is God's divine imperative, mitzvah. Mitzvah number one, same in our table. Same in our table. Go out of the table. Atov, watch how they're supposed to go out of the table. You, v'ishtecha, and your wife, uvanecha, they're not going out of the teva separate, men and women separate. You go out with your wife, ubanecha, and your sons, unesheivanecha, and the wives of your sons with you. And kol hachaya, ashidecha, and every living being that is with you of all flesh, of birds, of animals, and all moving things that move on the earth, order them out. Haitseita, bring them out with you, v'shortzu v'aretz, and they shall swarm through the earth, uforu v'rovu v'aretz, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. God has now commanded Noah to do three things. One, go out of the ark. Two, men, husbands and wives together. Four things. Send out all of the living creatures and begin the process of Pru Urvu. The next pasuk blows my mind. The next pasuk blows my mind. I haven't seen any of the portions that talk about it. And the truth is, I don't want to look. I don't want to find. Vayetze Noach Ubanov. Noach went out with his sons. Wait a minute. Wait. He's supposed to go out with his wife. Vayetze Noach Ubanov. Noach went out with his sons. Vishdo and his wife went out with the daughters-in-law. Wait. Obedient Noach. Obedient Noach. What happened over here? You are specifically, expressly commanded to go out with your wife and your sons with their respective wives. Do you know what's happening over here? This is Noah's greatest act of defiance. He doesn't do what God wants of him. Why doesn't he do what God wants of him? You know why he doesn't do it? Rabbeinu Shlomo, you'll get it in your head sometime later in history to destroy the world again, and you want me to rebuild a world that you may ultimately destroy again? Not me! You know what Noach knows? Noach knows when, so to speak, kivyachol, he has the upper hand. God needs him! God needs Noach and his sons and their wives to rebuild the world. And what happens if Noach refuses? What will happen with the divine plan for a rebuilt world? Noach knows. I want to say it respectfully. He has God over a barrel. He's not going to do it. You know what he wants? He wants. You know what, God? Convince me that we should rebuild your world for you. Convince me. And you know what's going to begin now? You have to imagine the scene. The way I imagine the scene is, God is going to talk, he's going to talk, and he's going to talk. And you know what Noah is going to be doing there? The first poker face in history. Not a smile, not a twinge, nothing. And God sees, wait, he better up the ante. That was not enough for Noah. God needs Noah. Noah knows that God needs him. Do you know what he's going to do? He will defy God until he has squeezed out of him every guarantee for the world until the end of eternity. And watch what he gets. If he would have come out of the Teva, listened to the Rebbe and said, I said, well, I come out with my wife and my kids with their wives, we're going to start building the world again. Then, I think we would have been able to condemn Noah. Noah, you have right now the whole world in your hands. It's all up to you. You know what else Noah may be doing? If there was a bit of doubt in his mind, maybe he could have done more for the world. Maybe he could have done something yet that would have saved the world. He's going to make sure now, this is Tshuva Shlema, he's going to make sure that this world is going to continue on until the end of time. And watch. Imagine, and I mean it with great respect, the convention is sweating. He needs Noach. But wait. Kolachaya. Next passage. Yes, God told him that all of the animals should go out. Yes. Kol Hakaya, Kol Remes, Kol Ov, Kol Remes, Limish Bechotehem. He let they go out according to their families, so to speak, male and female. Okay, they can go ahead and procreate. Noach built an altar, and he took from all the behemoth Torah, we call it Olpa Torah, and he brought them as an olah on the altar. And God smelled that sacrifice that was brought to him. God said in his heart, this is not something that he has communicated to Noach. In his heart he says, Lo Osif Lekalil Odom Adom Abavur Adam, I'm not going to curse the world because of man. Man has evil in him from his youth. And I'm not going to destroy all living creatures as I did. Until the end of time, there will be Zera and Kotzer and Kor and Chom and Kayetz and Choreth, Yom Volaylo, Lo Yishbozu. All the days of the earth, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer, winter, day and night, shall not cease. Alright? Noah doesn't know about this. Alright, so now the Rabbeinu Shalom knows that he has a problem. Now begins his communication with Noah. He begins very softly. No more commands. He's not getting angry with him. Noah, why are you defying me? And Noah, the God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said to them, Peruravu umilu et haaretz. In other words, he knows that they have no intention of doing that. So he's commanding them again, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now he's going to give a whole series of promises. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast on the face of the earth. The animal kingdom will be afraid of you. I've given all of animal kind is in your hands. You may eat. This is the first time that man is permitted to eat living beings. Kiyedek Esav Natati Lechemet Kol Adam, and all those generations were only able to eat Yedek Esav, the grass, vegetarians. Ar Boso Nafsho Dome Lotam Chelu, can't eat flesh that has blood in it. Boso Nafsho Dome Lotam Chelu, that means cutting off a limb from a living being. If an animal tries to kill you, I will avenge. Umiyat Adam, miyat ish achiv. If man kills fellow man, edroshet nefesh Adam, I will seek the life of that man. Shofer dam Adam, v'adam damo yishavach kibitzel, v'lekim asat Adam. He tells them that I will make sure that somebody who has committed an act of murder and has not been brought to justice, I will take care of that justice. He also prohibits suicide over here. Man taking his own life. Va'atem, repeated a second time. By the way, it's not a second time. The third time. Va'atem, you? Here's the command. Peru urevu, shirtsu ba'aretz. Peru urevu, shirtsu ba'aretz urevu ba. Fill the land. This sounds good, doesn't it? What's Noah doing right now? Nothing. Noah says nothing. Noah does nothing. There's a pause. God reflects. After Vayedaber Elokim and Vayevorech Elokim and Vayomer, now he goes Vayomer Elokim El Noah. You know the difference between Vayedaber and Vayomer? Vayedaber is a divine imperative. Vayomer already is soft. It's conversation-like, okay? The Rishon has come down from the bombastic Vayedaber Elokim El Noach Lemar. Vayomer Elokim El Noach. And by the way, you know what God knows now? This is not a rebellion of one man. The whole world is rebelling against God. The whole world. All of mankind. And therefore, while at the beginning it said, Vayedaber Elokim El Noach, the Rosh Hashem understands he has to communicate not only with Noach, he has to communicate with his sons also. So now it's softer. Vayomer Elokim El Noach, Ve'el Bonov Ito Lemor. I'm going to make a covenant with you. And with your children after you. Oh boy, is the ante going up. Oh, is the revelation, I'm making a covenant. This is a covenant between me and you, and not only me and you, your children after you. That kol nefesh achaya should have come all of the living beings. Ba'ofa behemoth chol mikol yotzei ateva lechol chayas earth. This is a covenant that I'm making with everybody. Ve'akimosi adbriti etchem, and I promise you, I'm going to keep my covenant. V'lo yikodes kol bosor od mimei hamabul. Boy, is this a problem. There never will be a mabul to destroy all flesh. V'lo yir od mabul l'shachis oretz, even the land. There will not be a mabul that will destroy the land. Response? Noach? His sons? No response. And I assume that they represent the three wives. They represent the three wives. There's nobody here. There's nobody here that is ready to agree to God's command that's now become request. And it's even more than a request. It's God is already at the point of pleading. Pru ruvu, ruvu ba, milu ha'aretz, shirtzu, move out. Now, when it says again, vayomer elokim, remember, every time it says vayomer elokim, it means there had been a pause, and the Rebbeinu was expecting to hear some kind of a response, and there's no response. There's no response. So you know what? He ups the ante. Vayomer elokim, Elohim says, not enough that I've made a covenant with you, and I have promised to keep that covenant. I'm going to make an od brit. I'm going to make a sign for that covenant. Zot od habrit asher anino ten beini ubeinechem ubein kol nefesh chaya shiritchem ledorot olam. Wow, do you see what has been added into this passage? You and all animal kind. And it, all of those who are with you, and this is going to be l'dorot olam for all generations. He's being very clear and very specific. And I now have an oath. The oath is et kashti natati banan. I put my rainbow in the cloud for haital oath brit, and this will be the sign of a covenant. Beiniu bein, or it's between me and the land. V'hoyan, it will come to pass ba'an in Yanan, when the clouds, when the storm clouds gather far across the sea, yeah, when the storm clouds gather, what will happen? V'nirata ha'keshet ba'an, and the, you will see the rainbow in the cloud. V'zacharti, I will remember. Now the Rebbeinu says, you know, he's putting a knot in his tie. You ever put a knot in your tie? Those of you who have, I have a note brit. See this fashlugana thing on my watch? A physiotherapist who wanted me to remember to do a certain exercise. Stuck that on. I look at it 10 times a day, and I don't think I've done the exercise once. I'm defying him. The Rebbeinu says, "Es kashti natati ba'anan," and I will remember. I'll remember. You afraid I'm going to forget? No, no, no. I'm going to say that. V'ha'yovan liyar v'zachati adbriti asher beini u'beinechem. And every time he talks about a promise, it's between me, you, and all living beings. Nobody is left out. Being kol nefesh. All flesh. Water will never be a marble of flood. The bow, the rainbow is going to be there in the cloud. To remember this eternal covenant. The fourth time already, the fifth time. Between all living flesh. What more does Noah do? Have they blinked? No, they haven't blinked at all yet. No. Kabbashim, you get points, you've done very well. The promises are okay. There's still one thing missing. And I don't know, is it for the fourth time already? Vayomer Elokim el Noach. God said to Noah, Zot Ot Habit. He shows him what the rainbow looks like. This is the sign of the covenant, Asher Hakimoti, that I have established, Beini uBein Kol Basar Asher Al Aretz, between me and between all living flesh on the face of this earth. Do you understand? Noah hasn't said a word. And he has elicited from the Rabbeinu Shlomo promises. Avram never got such promises out of God. There was nobody who ever lived that was able to elicit this without saying a word. You know what it was? This same Noah who is capable of absolute obedience. Tell me to build a table. Vayas Noah. Noah did it. It wasn't simple. 120 years and to be a whole world most probably was laughing at him. Vayas Noah. Noah did it. He fulfilled that Vayas Noach. He made the Teva day after day after day, 120 years. That was a tremendous, tremendous act of obedience. God tells him to go into the Teva, okay? He's on his way, but he stops short of going into the Teva. This is his first act of defiance. I don't believe it. You're not really going to destroy the whole world, are you? You didn't really mean it. You wanted to scare us. But you don't really plan on doing it. And therefore, he only goes into the Teva because there was no possibility. The waters forced him in and God closed the door behind him. But when it's all over, Noach knows that he holds the future of the whole world in his hand. And he's going to use it to the utmost, to the hilt. Nobody ever did anything like Noach. Or nobody never did no doing like Noah. He out Gaidamax Gaidamax. Noah, they know Medaber, they know Oseh. He doesn't speak, he doesn't do. And do you know what he gets? Look at the promises that he gets. But it's such a fascinating page in Chumash. Every moment the Rebbeinu is waiting. Well, is Noah going to relent? Is Noah finally going to say, okay, Rebbeinu Shlomo, take it easy, I'll build your world for you? No. He extracts every last promise. This is the greatness. Noah is a giant. Unbelievable giant. I have come out officially now in favor of Yesh Meir Avotenu, our rabbis who look at Noah favorably. Even though the next pasuk, and it wasn't by choice that I don't have the next pasuk, it just happens to be Yatzkol Chumash, you know. It's perfect. All that I needed was on this one page. The next pasuk is of course going to say, Vayochel Noah Ish Adama. Tells us the story of Noah, man of the earth, who plants a vine. Yeah. I'll tell you, if I need a drink, I couldn't wait that long. And he plants, by the way, and it's, this is premeditated by Noah. Noah wants to get drunk. The first thing he plants the vine. And he's going to wait patiently. He's going to wait patiently until it grows. And he's going to wait patiently until he gets a chrezas, cabernet sauvignon, an emerald riesling, good enough to get drunk. And I see greatness in that also. Because Noah, of course, knows that as he steps out onto the world, he's walking on the graves of mankind. The whole world is a cemetery. It's Europe in 1945. The graveyard of the Jewish people. That's not enough. That's not enough to send somebody to drink. Unbearable for Noah. And you know what it means, unbearable for Noah? Is it possible that he feels in some way guilty? Is there something I could have done to save them that I didn't do? I don't think anybody was ever as justified in getting drunk as Noah was. And I see his drunkenness also, Dorshim Lishvach. That's also the greatness of Noah.